even better.
Live, uncensored, Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, and here we are by the miracle of modern technology. It is the ISDN line to you, back on the microphone and not the telephone. Thank you very much, Manny, and I appreciate all of your valiant efforts. Well, here we are, and we are awaiting a guest appearance by none other than a man who has stirred much controversy, much provocativeness, much independent thinking and investigation, and certainly much dismay for the forces of anti-Americanism, anti-nationalism, anti-Christianity, if you will, and all of the things that we have always held very dear and near to our hearts. His name is Darryl Bradford Smith. And he heads up the website, IamTheWitness.com. We're waiting for Darryl to join us momentarily. Very interesting websites that he has. And we talked off the air before he plans to call on the air any moment now. And Darryl is a man who I think has come a very long way in the last few years since launching his own website. And right now, we do have Darryl on the line. Darryl Smith, welcome.
Well, it's great to have this opportunity to speak to you and your listeners, Rick. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you. I've long heard you call in to RBN and to my program, and now we finally have the opportunity to have you on as a guest, and thanks to urging from some of our listeners who would like to hear more about you. And I was just stating how in your websites here, how many actual websites do you have?
I have two of them. I have, but one of them is not functioning at the moment because it's a streaming website. It's a dedicated server. But the other one is IamTheWitness.com, and the second one is IamTheWitness.tv.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, anybody who types in a search engine, that website will see a myriad of topics, a myriad of subjects pop up, and I guess that because you have done such yeoman work, Darryl, in bringing together such interesting and documented information to the viewer, to the Internet subscriber, that you have probably not endeared yourself to the Anti-Defamation League types, I would imagine. And that's putting
Well, no, they don't like me. No,
they don't.
And, and here in France, I get threats regularly. And
really?
It just goes with the territory. I've been threatened with jail. I've had Israelis at my front door threatening my life. I've had people stand in front of my house telling me they've got pictures of my home and me outside it. And I had a guy in Paris a week ago say that they were going to poison me in my home.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nice people, huh?
Nice guys, yeah, real nice.
The tolerance people, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what?
Wow.
I'm not tolerant about what they're doing to my life and to, you know, it. Interesting thing that the Americans are not really aware of is that the problems being created by this group are as bad here. I mean, this is not just an American problem.
Hey, they're worldwide problems, remember?
Worldwide, exactly right.
Right.
And you know, liberty and freedom and the rights of the individual are being stolen worldwide. And they're using the same techniques in both places. So, you know, this is the time for everybody who cares about what they're going to be living like in the next, in this next part of their lives. They've got to get together now and stop these people immediately.
Okay, hey, boy, that's a good opening statement. We'll be back with Darryl Bradford Smith right here on the program Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, and we welcome your calls tonight to our guest, Rick Adams. We'll be back with him in just 3 minutes.
How dare you call yourselves patriots and heroes? If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, You are just plain wrong. There is no freedom.
And boy, that tells it like it is. Well, here we are. We still have a little bit of freedom left on the airwaves in America and those worldwide who can still hear us. And I don't know about Germany. Now, are they permitted to hear programs like this in Germany, or are they blocked by the Zionazis?
Well, my website is blocked in most of the world. In fact, you can't go to any public buildings in America and type me in, for the most part. Canada's got me blocked across their nation. Canadians individually can get me, but all their public buildings and all their libraries have blocked me. In Germany as well. I'm blocked there as well.
Well, I mean, looking at your website here, you name names, you document sources, you refer the people to various authors, historians, people of note, people who are, in fact, Jews themselves, Zionists themselves, anti-Zionist Jews, who have made some rather provocative and shocking statements about certain people. And you have, I think, probably the most unique, if I may use that term, website that I have ever seen. And I know there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of websites that are similar, but yours seem to do what most of the others don't quite do. And
well,
I don't know what that is, but it just stands out at me.
Well, the fact is that most of the books that are on the front page are not available elsewhere, and the people who provided that information have, in most cases, firsthand knowledge of what they speak of.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back in history somewhat as well to some of the more reliable sources of the last century, people like Nesta Webster, for example,
mm-hmm.
or Myron Fagan.
Mm-hmm.
I push Benjamin Friedman very heavily.
Yep.
Right, Friedman is a hero for our time. In fact, a Jewish gentleman who saw what was happening in his own community. He was a participant in the crimes, and he decided that this was wrong-headed and criminal, and he stopped himself and became a fighter for the truth. And you know, when you see that kind of heroism coming from a Jew himself, this is one of the reasons why I ask people not to blame every Jew, because many of the people in the Jewish community have been lied to, just like the American public, and they don't know the real depth of this conspiracy. So they're acting out of what they think is their best interest, and they don't even realize that they're working for a criminal gang. They are waking up, however. But there are people on this website like Father Conklin, who was doing a broadcast in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
There are people like, you know, again, Ben Friedman, but this man named Archibald Maul Ramsey is somebody I recommend everyone to read. His PDF file's on my front page. Sandhurst graduate, Eton School, that's as elite as you go in Britain, a man of letters, came up head first against this conspiracy and wrote about it. They destroyed the man's life. They ruined everything he had financially and socially. But he told the truth in spite of it and named names back in that period. You can carry this line of criminality, name for name, person for person, act for act, throughout the last several centuries. And I was a co-generator of a book called The Synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
The man Andrew Carrington Hitchcock,
mm-hmm.
who wrote
yes.
that, was a site member on my website, and he called himself Anonymous Andy, and he and I put together a timeline on the Rothschild fortune, and this was about 3 years ago now. He'd put the book into print now, and he's had 20,000 plus copies printed and distributed worldwide. A very powerful chronology of all of the crimes these people have committed. And there isn't a debate here whether these people are the ones we should be focusing on. The focus needs to now be put on how do we stop them from what they're doing, and how do we get more people to understand this conspiracy. You know, there may be a way to get this out, to get these people out of our lives in a bloodless fashion, and this is what I've been hoping for from the beginning. And I think essentially all that will take is a full awakening of society, and these people will run for cover. And But I've got their names, so no matter where they run, we can hunt them down. We can bring them to justice. We can eliminate them from our lives. We can confiscate their belongings, their assets, their family assets, and we can return those to the public purse, pay off our debts with the money they stole, and put these people out of our lives permanently. Now, if we don't wake up, which, you know, fluoride has done a job on us, and so has the propaganda that people have been fed, if we don't get them out soon, we're going to have to be involved in a violent pitched battle against them. And there's no doubt in my mind it will get violent if we don't act now.
Well, now, let me ask you this, Darryl. What kinds, you've just said that you have been threatened. You have been threatened with assassination, with death, with other things, even perhaps, death is not always the worst thing that can happen to somebody in this world, you know.
Yeah.
But you have mentioned the kinds of vile things that the so-called people of tolerance are willing to do, and certainly we know they will do anything. Murder is considered a badge of honor to them, right out of what Jesus confronted them with in his day. Now, let me ask you this. What is it about you and your research and your site that they feel so threatened by that maybe they don't see in other sites and other efforts by other people?
Well, because if you listen to alternative radio and you try to put together this conspiracy, more often than not, you are sent down a dead-end road.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
People trying to push the Black Pope idea, or people trying to push hologram theory on the 9/11 explosion, or people trying to say that wave weapons from space did this or that. What happens is my website destroys the lies they tell, and it makes them have to reinvent the lies they're telling.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't move quickly. They don't have the capacity to reinvent their own information quick enough because they are a large... Let's use the analogy of a huge super tanker, and they can't make quick turns. And when I read the tea leaves in this alternative media, I always have the answers from history that will prove the story I tell. When they try to reinvent their story to fix their work, they're moving late. I'll give you a good example.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been fighting against the information from Alex Jones for a long time.
Uh-huh.
This man, 14 years in this movement, and he only in the last 3.5 months has come to the conclusion that Israelis are behind 9/11 and that the people we need to fight off here are Zionist Jews. How could somebody spend 14 years in this work and only 3 months ago come to that conclusion? Well, let me tell you why. He was forced into his conclusions 3 months ago by me.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed so hard at these facts that this man was in a situation where he was going to start losing all his credibility if he did not start accepting the fact that Zionism is the root cause. And so what I've done is taken someone who is an obfuscator and forced him to tell the truth. And, this has really been my goal. I don't care who's out there telling the truth, even if it's the bad guys trying to cover themselves, as long as the story's being told.
But you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt that statement. But, you've touched on something here, and that is something I've always tried to convey in my broadcast. I'm nobody. I'm a humble little individual here, and I certainly don't reach millions and millions of people, and I don't have the kind of influence that many people think I do. And quite frankly, I don't care. You know, I just do my little bit here on this program, and I just do what I have to do because I have conscience, and I feel people need to know certain things. But, it's true that there are many attempts by these forces who call themselves Jews and are not, but do lie, and they have infiltrated virtually every single organization, every movement, every particular effort to try to win people over to understanding who is responsible for their plight. And as you point out, they will divert you somehow or some way the UFO theories. You know, they'll tie in flying saucers. They'll tie in the Martians or what have you. They'll tie in a little bit of everything. But remember, they'll give you a lot of truth. And I remember Louis Boudens, who was the one of the top officials of the Communist Party, years and years and years ago, telling this man here in where I am in New England that take it from me, he said to this fellow. He says, I know, I was there. He said the communists, and it's not just limited to them, but let's just say for the sake of example, will tell you a lot of truth, he said. He said they'll tell you truth, 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 right up till the end, and then they'll drop the lie. And he says, and that's the way they'll get you baited and hooked onto their bus. They'll give you a lot of truth, and in the end, they'll lead you down the false path.
Well,
and that's what most of these websites do, I think, today.
That's right. And, you know, if you take a look at Jeff Ferenz's website, he does a lot of powerful exposing of the Zionist conspiracy, but then he, on a left column, he's saying, would you like to take a vacation to Mars? And what that does for the mainstream when they open up a Rentz page is it people read that and say, what is this guy? He's talking about Martians and 9/11 truth. All of this stuff is crazy. And see, it's a very subtle tool for discrediting. What I've tried to do on my website here is put the facts out as I understand them. When I am wrong, and I have been on more than 100 occasions, I try to correct it immediately, and I present a mea culpa immediately. So,
sure.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, the music's playing. More to come. Stay where you are. Darryl Bradford Smith, IamTheWitness.com. We'll be back with more of him, more questions, and your calls just ahead on the program Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger.
By some awful quirk of fate, the Morlocks had become the masters and the Eloi their servants. The Morlocks maintained them and bred them like cattle.
Back, fellow Eloi, and I'm Rick Adams. We're speaking with Darryl Smith here on the program tonight, and you know, Darryl, just today, this news item in England, of course, making big news. The Catholic Herald, which is Britain's leading Catholic newspaper, reveals that there is a bishop who is part of the Archbishop Lefebvre movement in England, and he now has made the statement that he believes that the protocols of the Elders of Zion is in fact true, and he believes that it's true, and as a result, of course, he has been immediately denounced by every organization, every Jewish organization, including B'nai B'rith, and of course I believe it's the what is that now, that that guy out there who claimed that he survived many Holocausts out there. What was that organization?
The Anti-Defamation League.
No, that's the other guy. The other guy. I can't think of it right now, but it'll come.
Simon Wiesenthal.
Simon Wiesenthal. Anyway, they're all out to now to attack this Williamson for making that statement, and the Catholic Herald reaches a lot of people in England. But let me ask you this: what is your view, official view, on the protocols?
Well, the protocols, as far as the research shows, were a document that came out of the original Basel, Switzerland meeting of Theodor Herzl's first conference for the Zionist movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, World Zionism was born in name at that point, but it was certainly already an organization. What you need to know is that the Jewish Committee, the International Jewish Committee, or the American Jewish Committee, or the European Jewish Committee, has been the umbrella organization of Zionist criminality for a long time, and that's who really, the Jewish Committee is what really runs the whole show behind the scenes. They've been around for 150 years. Prior to that, they were, you know, fractured groups around Europe doing work such as imploding the caliphate of the Ottoman Empire and getting involved in taking over certain elements within Western governments, but you know, this conspiracy dates back all the way into the 1500s, 1600s, when Sabbatai C, a Frankist libertine New Bohemian man from the Ashkenazi group, declared himself the Jewish Messiah, and you'll find that he gave birth to Jacob Frank, he gave birth to the Jabotinskys, he gave birth to the New Bohemians, and these are all documented and factual threads of history that are never taught to anyone. They are available if you read through the literature of well-studied social scientists and historians, and I mean people of note, you know, people like Nesta Webster, whose husband, she was a very well-educated university graduate from Britain, whose husband was the Governor General of India. Mm-hmm. She was not a crackpot, but when she came out with the facts regarding this Zionist conspiracy, she was destroyed. Her husband's career was destroyed. You'll find the same thing happening with Elizabeth Dillings. You'll find it with Douglas Reed, a Pulitzer Prize-winning, well-known journalist who was completely destroyed as a result of the investigation he did.
Mm-hmm.
These people are going to try to do the same to this bishop. The fact is, you know, the Catholic Church is compromised. There are Jews in very high positions within the Catholic Church who claim to be Christian. I can give you an example of people who do that. John Kerry. His name is Khan. His name is Forbes Khan Kerry. He claims to be a Christian. He's a Jew. Madeleine Albright, the same situation. Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, his grandfather was one of the leading Zionist criminals that overtook Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Mueller, and his name means the messenger in Jewish, in Hebrew. The fact is, Nicolas Sarkozy claims to be Christian. He's not. He's Jewish. This crypto-Jewish element needs to be understood by the listener here, because what people say on the surface is almost never true when it comes to their Jewish faith, because they've been permitted through their own doctrine to lie about their religion. You'll find that true about the Murano Jews who infiltrated the American Southwest. They are in charge of Mexico. They're in charge of Central and South America, the drug trade, and the child pornography, and all of the money laundering systems that have gone on in South and Central America for the last 100 years. The Banana Republic controls Kirchners of the world in South America. These families are Zionist Jewish. Cameron Diaz, for example, that beautiful little blonde actress, she's a Zionist Jew, and her family is of Jewish heritage. Now, you would think she's a Hispanic girl. She's not. She's a Murano Jew, along with people like Martin Sheen's son. His name is Estevez. He's also a Murano Jew. These crypto-Jews have been infiltrating our systems for the last 200 years, and they have found such success at it that it's a standard operating procedure now for these people.
Yeah, I happened to be looking at, while you were talking about it, the lesson number 7, Crypto Jews and Crypto Zionist section, which I find to be very interesting. And when we come back from the break, excuse me, I want to get into more of that, and then we'll invite phone calls since we just have the hour. So we'll do that with Daryl Bradford Smith, and we're speaking about his website, IamTheWitness.com. Join us, Rick Adams, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And our number is 800-313-9443. Be right back.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
And we are back now with Bradford Daryl Smith, IamTheWitness.com. Hey, since you're in France, Daryl, you know, the headline on this week's Forward newspaper is Battle for France's Top Rabbi Post Goes Viral. Have you read that one?
No, I haven't, no.
Well, it's interesting to go online and read the Forward and see about the battle, purportedly, between the Ashkenazi and the Sephardim on who will be the chief rabbis in France. And as you know, where you are, France in Europe has a particularly high percentage of those particular tribes who say they are Jews and are in virtually every position of government in France and today, as well as largely in Italy as well, and England for that matter. So what we have is a very interesting, a tiny group of people who, yet despite their small numbers, have a disproportionate amount of control and power wherever they may be planted. And I find that to be
interesting. It's more than disproportionate. It's monopolistic power and control. Here in France, there's 1% of the population Jewish. And yet virtually every major post in the government and every major corporation in the country is owned or operated by a Jewish director or a Jewish board or a Jewish politician. The fact is, this country having 1%, which is half of the number the Americans sadly have, are in just as controlled as America. America is no different. The judges here are Jewish. The chief executives are Jewish.
But now, how can that be, Darrell? I thought all of them, all but a mere 10%, perished in the Holocaust.
Well, I don't really have the right over here in France to discuss the Holocaust because I will be imprisoned.
Oh, my. So much for freedom of speech, huh?
There is no freedom of speech on that subject here where I live, and I figure I will let other people fight that battle because were I to go down that road, I will be doing prison time here in France. Or
so you would be handing the enemy then the wherewithal they need to put you away without having to do something more dastardly to you.
That's
that right?
Exactly right. Exactly.
Why give them the ammunition then to do it legally? But you have had visits, you've said, from the Mossad, huh?
Yeah, I have. They came to my front door here, and I've also had other people visit me as I was traveling, and I've had countless threats. I've had phone call threats.
How have you managed to survive, do you feel? Why is it they haven't rubbed you out?
Well, I don't live in an area where they would be able to get around very easily here. They would be identified almost immediately. I have a decent relationship with my local gendarme. The police in France here locally are from local communities, and they're not militarized like the American police departments that you'll find across the U.S.
So you're saying you find, despite all this control and despite their presence, you find a safe haven there where you are in France?
As of the moment, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long that's going to last, but, you know, and plus, I mean, if somebody comes for me on my home, in my home and property, I'm going to defend myself vigorously, and that would include all and anything I need to do to save my family and my life here. So, and I'm not a Chihuahua. I'm a bit different than that, Rick.
All right, let's do this. We have the lines right now, as you can imagine, jammed. So I don't want to take any more time from our listeners. Let's give each of them just a few minutes apiece so we can move on to the next caller, and let's have them ask you questions and talk with you personally, Darrell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I'll give the number anyway, but I don't think you can get through. 800-313-9443. And let's start with Dave in Massachusetts. Hello, Dave. You're on with Darrell Bradford Smith.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Rick. Hello, Darrell.
Hello. How are you, David?
Pretty good. Hey, Darrell, let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with Professor Joss Rogier over there in Belgium?
No, I am not. Sorry. No. Why?
Oh, okay. Have you ever heard of a book called The Bible, The Devil's Book?
No, I haven't heard of that either, no.
Oh, okay. You should, I'm sure you'd find it interesting. If you get a chance, check it out.
Okay.
The reason I wanted to ask you is because you're over there in France, and he's in Belgium. He's a professor in Belgium.
Okay.
Let me ask you real quickly then something else.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah. And you know, I don't want this to sound like gossip, but gossip or anything. But I'll try to be as straightforward as I can. But we have Mark Weber out there at the Institute for Historical Review.
Yeah.
And what I'm a little bit confused about, there's two men that I greatly respect. And one of them is Michael Collins Piper, mm-hmm. and the other man is Ernst Zundel, who, of course, is currently imprisoned in Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Michael has no use for Mark Weber because, you know, he feels like he was part of the gang there with Andrew Allen that took over the Institute for Historical Review. So, as you know, Michael has no use for Mark Weber. But now Ernst Zundel seems to trust Mark Weber. Can you comment on that?
Okay, good question. Do you have any personal feelings or knowledge on the Mark Weber situation, Daryl? Daryl? Uh-oh. What happened? Okay, I can hear you, Dave, but what happened to Daryl?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
You're there, Daryl. Did we get disconnected, Daryl?
You know how the devil works.
Well, you know, I mean, we knew going into this interview that there would be attempts made to try to silence Daryl and his efforts on his website, and I don't know if he's there and cannot be heard or if the line of communication has been interrupted.
Yeah,
but
maybe
we'll
we
just continue to talk. And go ahead, Dave. What were you going to say about what was your perception?
Rick, maybe we should rebuke the Prince of the Power of the Air right now and try to get Daryl back on.
Sure. I'm doing that as I meditate as I'm speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but anyways, Rick. Are you familiar with that? What I talked about, how Ernst Zundel seems to.
Yeah, I mean, only on a very peripheral level, because I don't spend a great deal of time getting into that particular aspect of the personalities involved. But I do implicitly trust Mike Piper, who I've always thought very highly of, as you know, and he and I go way back. Well, not back a number of years, but I've been reading his columns for years, and we met and we became friends when I went to Washington at the conference going back a few years. And I know that when Mike says something that I've never had occasion to doubt his veracity, because he's been right on the money whenever he said something. But I can't always say the same for other people, so I'll leave it at that, and that's all I can say about the Mark Weber situation.
I agree with you, Rick, as far as I'm definitely inclined to go with Michael Collins Piper. If Michael Collins Piper says somebody's lousy, marks them lousy, I'm definitely inclined to be very leery and cynical of them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, all right, then. Let's move along, Dave. Let's see if we can get Daryl back. And in the meantime, let's take some other callers and see what they think so far about what's happening. Thank you, Dave. Joe in Texas is on the line here. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Rick. How you doing,
bro? Oh, I haven't heard you in a while, Joe.
Yes,
good
sir.
Good to hear your voice, sir.
Yes, sir. Good to hear yours, sir.
Thank you.
You brought up a key word when you one of your breaks, sir, and you mentioned before you had your guest back on, Rick, about Germany and Nazism, tied in with the Jewish people. And we can see it in the United States, the way it's going. I think that, you know, every county and state has its own colors of law enforcement, but it seems like I'm seeing more black uniforms, Rick, you know.
Well, we are becoming militarized every day.
You hit a key word when you said Germany and fighting with the Jews and the Holocaust. And I've read with my eyes some stories about how the Jews were tied in with Nazi Germany and the people that's running our country now.
Well, they had a special relationship with the government. Remember, it was the World Jewish Organization, the Zionist nations,
exactly,
that boycotted Germany.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah.
And they had a blockade, an actual blockade, just as they're trying to do today with Iran, the same war again.
I just wish the American people had more knowledge, Rick. Brother.
Okay. Hey, listen, we've got Daryl back.
Good. Here he is.
Daryl, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Thank goodness. What happened there, Daryl?
That was done. It was my side. They cut me off. They shut my internet down, and they shut my phone lines down.
How did you get back on?
I have another line here that I use.
Okay, good, good. All right. We have Joe on the line right now, but did you have any comment on what the previous caller had said, Dave in Massachusetts, about the individuals involved in this, you know, from Sundell to the other fellow that we mentioned, without getting into a lot of name-calling, Mark Weber, but, you know, what was your opinion?
Mark Weber, I have no knowledge of the guy. I did send him an email. He didn't respond. I don't have any communication with him, and I'm not familiar with the fight going on between other people. I have no idea what's going on with that. So,
all right.
Rather than comment on it,
sure.
I don't know.
Okay, then for sake of time, let's move along. Joe, did you have a specific question for our guest, Daryl?
I just wanted to say, Rick, Ms. Smith, keep faith and don't be afraid, and because you know he's going to keep you alive because you're giving the word out in your own way, sir. And keep the faith.
Okay,
and,
thank you, Brother Joe.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, thank you. Henry in Connecticut is next. Hello, Henry.
Yes, hello. Yes, good morning, Daryl. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, Henry. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. Greetings to you, sir. Listen, you have a lot of information. I really would like to talk to you off air. Is there some way I can get a phone number I can contact you directly? I understand you're in France. That's not the problem. The long distance won't be a big deal.
No, don't give out my phone number, Henry.
All right.
All
right, because these guys? Okay. Let me also...
Well, I don't give out my phone number to anybody. I've had to change my phone number here 4 separate times in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have his phone number, and I don't need it. You know, he's called into the program.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. The other thing I was going to ask you is this. You mentioned Martin Sheen's son. Are you talking Martin Sheen's blood son, or are you talking about a daughter or something, Martin Sheen, that they married?
Martin Sheen, his name's Estevez.
Right.
His name isn't Sheen, and he has a son named Emilio, and his other son, program right now, Two and a Half Men there, Charlie Sheen. His name is Estevez, and he's a Murano Jew, and he claims to be Christian. He's not Christian. He's a Jew.
All right, so he's not Spanish and Irish. He's really Jewish?
No. He's Jewish, and he's a Murano Jew. He can claim Spanish heritage because
right.
Jewish Sephardi came from Spain.
Oh, I see. A Spanish Jew, in other words. Not an Aryan Spanish. Right.
That's right.
Okay. All right, and you mentioned Diaz, too, that blonde woman.
Yes, and that's why they moved up the ranks of popularity in Hollywood, because of their heritage, not because of necessarily their talent or whatever else, but... The fact is, if you look across Hollywood, you'll...
What about Jack Nicholson? What about Jack Nicholson, Jodie Foster?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, Jack Nicholson, to the best of my knowledge, is a, quote, Jew. His father-in-law is Samuel Arkoff, who founded American International Pictures.
Well, look, you can go down the list. You can go down to Kevin Costner. Well,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Costner and Stallone and Robin Williams and, Billy Crystal. I mean, the list is every single person you think of. Is Jewish, and in fact, they don't want to allow any Gentile to become popular and then become a spokesperson for the truth. So they promote up the ranks, Jews only, so that they can control the popularity or the possible defection they might have later. There's
okay.
No defection coming from Jews, yeah.
Hey, we got to move along, Henry, because of the time and the number of callers. Thanks for your call, though. I appreciate it. We'll do it again. Dave in Texas is up next. Hello there, Dave.
How are you doing? Good evening, gentlemen.
Good, sir.
I have a question about, you said early in the broadcast, words to the effect, a couple of questions, actually, very quickly. One about perhaps taking the country back peacefully. I'm someone who's of the opinion of trying to at least give one more shot at that myself, and I'm proposed some ideas about possible constitutional amendments
right.
to force a more constitutional-oriented government, not mm-hmm. to change the Constitution, bring it back into effect. Strict constructionism, basically, necessitating certain amendments to bring that about, and a peaceful process for attempting to do that.
Well, let me interject here before you go any further. I think that basically what we're going to have is a cascading effect of knowledge. People are going to come to the realization that they've been controlled by this small group. And it's that the Constitution ultimately should come back into force fully, but in the shorter term, in the more important term, we have to just understand that the rules and regulations being enforced by this criminal gang have to be ignored, and that we have to actively depose them from their control. We have to get rid of the Jewish Zionist judges. We have to get rid of the local Jewish Zionist county sheriffs. We have to go out and take names of local community B'nai B'rith members and place them into a lockdown so that we can examine their participation in this conspiracy. We need to take them physically out of our lives, and then we can reinstitute our constitutional values. But until we get them out of the way, those constitutional values are going to be moot. They're not going to be able to be enforceable, because the people controlling the enforcement of those constitutional values, by and large, are Zionist Jews and their agents. So until we can take these people physically out of their role, we're not going to have our constitutional values reinstated, period. That's it. Bad.
Well, that's an interesting observation there. I had another quick question. You mentioned something about, apparently, I was not aware of this myself, but a friendly dispute between yourself and Alex Jones over certain matters. Seems that you're calling into question whether or not he was even sincerely to be considered, perhaps, I don't know, that I didn't want to put words in your mouth. I wanted you to have the opportunity to say it yourself.
Alex Jones is a disinformation.
In the Patriot Movement or not. And,
Alex Jones is a disinformation specialist, and he's been a mouthpiece for the criminals for 14 years.
I was not aware of that, and I hadn't viewed it that way. Do you have what you believe is evidence that would confirm that, to be fair to Alex?
Yeah, the evidence is he spent 14 years talking about the New World Order, and he just 3 months ago came to the realization it was Zionist Jews.
What if he honestly didn't know? What if he's not at all intentionally deceiving anyone, for example?
You think he's that stupid?
I'm not accusing him of being stupid, and I'm not, I'm not accusing him of being disinformation either.
He's an absolute disinformation guy. He has pushed people away from the Zionist connection of this conspiracy from the beginning.
Why don't you do this, Dave? Why don't you just go on his website, IamTheWitness.com, and read for yourself the whole plethora of statements concerning these particular individuals, Alex Jones and others, okay?
I'll have to look into that further.
Do that and then see if you you can argue with it, okay? It's up to you now. All right. Thank you.
We've
got to take a break, though. We're out of time right now. We'll be back with Doug and Wes next, and we'll be back with our guest in just 3 minutes.
The first step in winning the war, spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
We've just been too busy setting up our businesses. We didn't pay enough attention to what was going on around us. We allowed a bunch of thieves and murderers to get control.
All righty. Okay, we're back. Not too much time left with I'm so excited. I'm tongue-twisted here. Darryl Bradford Smith is my guest. IamTheWitness.com. I imagine you're going to get a lot of visits on your website as we speak, Darryl. But let's see if we can take a couple of more calls here. Let's squeeze them in. Doug in Texas. Hello there. You're on with Darryl.
Hi, Darryl and Rick.
Yep.
Nice to have you there, Doug. What's up?
Oh, I agree with you. I've known Alex for quite a while. I knew him when he first got started and everything. And he is very nebulous. The corporate control this, the New World Order that, he gets down to the specifics. What group are we talking about? What group of people are we talking about?
Hey, Doug, you're coming in kind of distorted. Can you speak any more clearly than that?
It's probably my cell phone.
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try again some other time.
All right, well, we get the message, I think. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Let me
Darryl,
first say,
go ahead.
Yes, his promotion of loose change, which pushes you away from Israel's participation in 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the man will never name the names within, like, Ledeen or Wormser or Kagan or the real criminals, the fact that he's only recently come to the conclusion that the Zionist Jews are behind this. The truth of the matter is this man has been at this longer than anybody, and it's as plain as the nose on your face as soon as you look at this information that Zionist Judaism is behind this crime wave. And this man would not come out and say that. And in fact, he would push you away from it with very subtle, and sometimes not so subtle, means. So the fact is he was working with people like Aaron Russo, one of the biggest Jewish producers in Hollywood, his friends with Charlie Sheen, again, a Zionist Jewish, root. The fact is that this man is a disinformation specialist. He always has been. I know from personal experience, having been on GCN as a host, I know all about this mess, and the fact is I'm 100% sure about this.
Okay, well, let's take one more call. Wes in Idaho. Hello there, Wes.
Hello, Rick.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you. Say hello to Daryl.
I concur with Daryl about Alex Jones. I've been hung up on numerous times when I'm trying to get it across. I thank Daryl for putting the many books on his website, the rare books. I've read Hitchcock's book, cover to cover. It's a great book. I'm glad to hear that you and Michael Collins Piper have patched things up, I guess. And
well, no, that's not true. I don't speak to Michael. I just let him do his business, and he does, and I do mine. We've never spoken. I haven't talked to him in years.
Okay.
There's no war going on, and there's no rapprochement. So we're basically in a he does his, I do my work. That's
You're in a parallel world, basically.
There we go.
Okay.
My important question here.
Go ahead, Wes.
Eric Hufschmidt. What are your comments on that?
Well, you know what? He's a very slick operator. I don't know the full story about Eric. All I do know is that he did more damage to me than any other individual I ever worked with.
Hey, we're out of time, Wes. I hope that answers your question. I think it does. But, Daryl, we only have a few seconds left. I hope to be able to have you back on as a guest again. You've been most interesting and most fascinating and most forthright as well. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Rick, and I appreciate it. Thank you to your listeners as well. And,
sure.
We hope to
do it again now, and hopefully we'll hope that you'll be safe, and we'll pray for you, okay?
Thanks,
thank
Rick.
You. Thank you very much, Daryl. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, very interesting show again. We'll be back again tomorrow night, Lord willing. You pray for us, too. And all I can say is, Yahweh bless each and every one of his anointed. Good night, everyone.